Scorpions Avenue. It is Lady Bunny here with Monet Exchange for the latest edition of Ebony and Irony.
Yes, ma'am. We are here today to discuss a lot of things, Bunny.
Yes. How have you been?
I've been really good. You know, I've been living my best life, enjoying this lovely weather in New York City. This is the type of weather in New York where, like, we spend all winter long cold and rainy and snow. Especially February was really bad this year.
February was brutal.
Yeah, and then you get this, like, one week of ecstasy with, like, temperatures in the high 50s, low 60s. You're like, oh, my God, I could do New York. I'm so sorry for talking so much shit about you all winter long. I'm sorry. You're so good to me. I love it.
Well, if you love high temperatures, you will love hell. No, it did feel like, I mean, you know, I've gotten one vaccine. It felt like the weather's turned around. I mean, it really feels like, you know, you're seeing more people. People are more cheerful because, you know, in New York, people live in small apartments, mm-hmm. and we've been in them for months.
Yeah, a lot of us have. And a lot of us have not been hooking up or... all those other things. But now with spring around the corner and nicer weather, like, all that stuff seems just a little bit more attainable. More dicks for everyone.
Well, except I wasn't really hooking up before the pandemic. As you often like to remind people, because I'm what?
Old.
Yes, okay.
And with that, I think we should get into the headlines, girl.
Everyone is all abuzz over the Meghan Markle and Prince Harry Oprah Winfrey interview. What were your major thoughts? I mean, everyone is talking about it. It spawned 1,000 news articles. You know, what is your basic take?
Well, as soon as I heard about it, I was like, this is going to be major. Now, as an American, I am not well-versed in the royal family and the monarchy and all that stuff. And I mean, I know, like, little tidbits in here. And every time I've gone to the UK, and I'm very lucky to, you know, grateful to spend a lot of time in the UK often, perform there a lot or working there a lot. I lived there for a couple months. So, but anytime you talk to British people about the monarch, it's very polarizing. Either people are like, you know, I just love them. They're just nice. They're just there. People are like, I fucking hate them. I hate them. I wanted to fucking die. It's like, people are always on either side of that. So I've never really had an opinion on them. But the interview was very, very, very intense. And the royal family, especially with things like The Crown being so infused into pop culture and everyone's talking about The Crown and stuff like that, we see that the royal family has had this very tumultuous past and a very tumultuous history. So this interview did not help that at all. It just exacerbated all of the thoughts that many people, not just in the UK, but around the world, have thought about the royal family.
About racism in particular, because the big takeaway was that Oprah was shocked that Meghan indicated that someone in the royal family or the institution, as mm-hmm. she, is that like the business wing of the party, was concerned about how dark-skinned the baby might be. And so everyone was quick to point out the racism. You know, I don't really follow the royals either. You know, this was very polarizing, and it's polarizing along the lines of left or right, because the left will be more open to racial equality, or at least pay lip service to it, and, you know, be more open to, you know, gender equality and LGBT rights. And then the right is more traditional, and they like guns and religion and, you know, stuff like that. So there is a definite mindset of the kind of person who just loves, loves, loves the royals and knows every, you know, bit of royal protocol. You know, someone who was criticizing Meghan was saying, well, what does she expect? She married into the royal family. She married a second son. Now she's whining. I mean, I do also understand that a lot of the battle between the left and right is based on how traditional you are. In some ways, it does fall in lines with this left-right thing. This was probably the first time I saw Meghan Markle speak. And
yeah, I think so for me too.
Yeah. I mean, she is gorgeous and extremely appealing. At some point, they stepped away in 20...
At the beginning of 2020.
At the beginning of 2020, they stepped down as working royals, and a good bit of this interview was whether or not they received security still, which they would want the royal family to pay for. I mean, again and again, Meghan and Harry mentioned support, as in they're no longer getting security and support, which I guess translates into dollars. And I guess if you wanted to be dollars that they want and that they aren't getting, but they aren't getting them because they stepped away. Do you know any more about that?
No, I don't know any more about that. But again, I don't know how this all works, but I would assume if you're not a working member of the royal family, why would you still get that? But at the same time, Prince Harry was born into being a royal. So you would think that it would be a lifetime appointment, kind of like a Supreme Court justice, to have security and stuff, because security is, you know, is for his life. Like, I'm sure, bitch, if I'm getting death threats on Instagram and fucking Twitter.
You are. I'm giving them to you. I'm giving them.
I could only imagine how much Prince Harry may be getting on the daily. So threats to his safety and his family's safety. So it would make sense that even though you step down from your duties, that you would still receive that protection from the royal family and the quote unquote institution, which was the eeriest thing. She kept on referencing this institution thing, like it was kind of like Big Brother, like and then Oprah asked, she was like, so the institution, is like a group of people? She was like, no, it's one. And I was like, it just seems so scary. Like this, like, institution. It was very like, ooh.
Right. I mean, I see what you say. I see what you say about the security and him being born into it. But when you actually take the official steps to withdraw, and this is under a year-long process, sometimes I felt sorry for them, and obviously you're going to feel sorry when she's saying that she's suicidal and that no one from the institution of the royal family wanted to help her. But at other times, I thought, well, have they just come over here to publicize themselves and their new Spotify deal for a podcast? I mean, they also have a Netflix deal. And I'm going to be honest with you. It is hard for me to feel sorry for someone who just moved to the United States and they moved to Oprah Winfrey's neighborhood. You know, also just right off the bat, I'm going to mention, if you're very pregnant and you're in 5-inch stilettos.
No, I don't say that. Girl, let me tell you something. I live in Harlem, and for my entire life, I have seen bitches 9-8 months pregnant with fucking 12-inch heels on. So I think that's just a personal preference. But also, just because you have a lot of money and you live in a nice neighborhood, and that doesn't excuse all of the other things that have happened. And when you have, that's just another thing where people equate money with happiness. Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean that you're happy. Doesn't mean that you don't get have these thoughts of, sadness, of depression, of suicide. Like, I think that they have the same blood flowing through their veins, just like us. And people would say that you and I are privileged compared to many drag entertainers. That doesn't mean that you and I don't get fucking sad. That doesn't get, that we get depressed. Like, we still experience those normal human emotions like everyone else.
Well, I'm a goddess, so I experience fewer of them. But, I mean, honey, she's, like I say, I mean, so this is like, this could be the heir to the throne, and you're going to walk around in not high heels, 5-inch stilettos. I mean, aren't you afraid that you could fall? Did they put them on her in the chair? I mean, I only look pregnant, and I wear flats. I just can't imagine a woman being pregnant and wearing 5-inch stilettos.
I see it all the time. The Meghan Markle interview dropped with Oprah Winfrey, and it has shaken the foundation of the British Empire. And there have been a lot of things since then that we want to just discuss them real quick with y'all and get your thoughts and opinions on them. Let's take some calls.
Hey, guys, calling from Ireland. I may be a bit biased here, but I think one thing that we have learned from this whole Meghan Markle debacle is that the royal family are an outdated racist institution that need to be abolished. And I think they're done.
That is a sentiment of a lot of people in the UK. And again, maybe that is because of who I follow online, but that's the sentiment I'm getting.
I wonder if our caller is saying that the monarchy is racist because of this incident, or because of the long history of colonialism, where England, a tiny country, had, you know, colonies all over the world. And as we know, with colonies, people are not treated well.
Girl, the phrase, the sun never sets on the British Empire, comes from that. Bitch, they owned land, property, and people literally across the goddamn globe, all right? So as long as there was daylight hitting somewhere on this globe, the British Empire owns that. That is what that means, in case anyone never heard that.
You mean like we do in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria?
Girl, let's play another one.
Hey, Monet. Hey, Lady Bunny. This is Andy. Monet, I'm a fan on your Patreon. Hey, sis.
Hey, girl.
I just wanted to say I loved the Meghan Markle interview. I think this is going to be Her Royal Majesty's downfall. I think the matriarchy and the monarchy of England is going to be over with Queen Elizabeth's death. I don't think Charles is going to make it, girl. Yep, that's it. Bye.
Andy came with that ether. Oh, Andy was like, bitch, she is done. Wow. What saved you to that, Bunny?
I mean, you listen, I'm not attached to the royals, so I'm not hoping that they hang on. Like I say, this hits people in completely different ways and is totally polarizing. So
I feel like everyone knows that the royal family is horrible at this point, especially after the crown and whatnot. And it's no surprise that they treat her like this. She is Diana 2.0, and she poses the same threat as Diana did. She is showing, she is such a modern woman in such a backwards, regressive world that they can't help to treat her horribly because they don't know what to do with her. And this is what happens when people are actually able to stand up for themselves now.
I'm not sure that I draw the parallel between Diana and Meghan. I know that they were both considered bad girls, but I never really followed it. What would the caller mean, Monet, as far as what you understand? And I mean, I know that's crazy because I'm older than you and was around when that was all happening, but sometimes
be very clear. You're much older than me. Let's be very clear about that. I will say, I was just going to say, I don't understand why Diana and Meghan are looked at, besides, you know, all the stuff that happened between Diana and Charles and all that, yada, yada. But in terms of, like, their work with the people, I would think that you would want people like Diana and Meghan because they're so great with the people and they're so warm and so inviting. Like I would think that as a royal, you would want that public perception. You know what I mean? So I don't understand it either. Why people say that Meghan and Diana were such enemies or such threats to the crown? Like, was it that like they think that they were so good at their job that people would want them to be like, you know, the new queen and queens? I don't know. I get very confused by it.
I don't think that it's that because they, you know, rejected the monarchy, and the callers are saying that the monarchy is outdated. Now, I do remember I had an acid flashback that around the time of Diana, you know, she was like this celebrated princess. Everyone loved her clothes and went on about
like
her hairdo.
Like me, Bunny.
I think we have a bad connection. the stereo, are you there? No. So Monet just tried to say she had nice clothes. Okay. And was attractive. Wow. This is a really bad connection. But what Diana did is she was celebrated. And then because Charles was with Camilla cheating and Diana, everyone hated to see this, you know, lovely young English rose cheated, that she turned away from the royal family. I don't think she turned in her working royals papers like Meghan and Harry did, but she left all that behind her and then was going out with the guy who she was in a convertible with when murdered. That's because she was, you know, dating, and so she spoiled this illusion. So, you know, are we saying that that Meghan is spoiling the royal family by telling the truth, and we want them to go? Because that's what a lot of our callers, you know, who probably are younger, you know, are expressing.
Yeah, agreed. Let's take another one.
Lady Bunny, hey, this is Joshua from Patreon, first of all. It's not about, at this point, we're tired of educating people on racism. Like, seriously, we're tired of it. Like, we shouldn't have to educate somebody that someone who they're associated with is racist or have racist tendencies. And at some point, she's an older lady. At some point, do your own research. Do your own, like, look it up yourself, girl. Like, it's racist. And no one black should have to teach someone white what racism is, period.
But do they want to open white people's eyes to racism and the effects of it? Because, I mean, this is one of my problems with how everyone latches onto this. Are we having whole podcasts on, you know, the fact that the coronavirus is killing black people and affecting black people? Are we having a podcast on the guy who put his foot on knee on George Floyd's neck? You know, started trial recently. I mean, I don't see any of the outburst of publicity that Meghan Markle, a rich woman, and Oprah Winfrey.
But to agree with this call, and I do agree, it is exhausting. Explain to people microaggressive and racist behavior. It's like, how many times do I have to tell someone that or how many times does a black woman with kinky hair have to tell someone, just please don't touch my hair, we're not at a petting zoo? Like, how, you know what I mean? It's like, how many times do you have to say this stuff before it's annoying? And when people
the answer is it may be annoying, but you do need to explain it, you know. I mean,
seek your own knowledge. Like read a book, correct? Put in a Google search.
Do you think that people in a pandemic are researching microaggressions that other people may feel when they talk about Piers Morgan? I just don't think that that is high on anyone's list of priorities. Maybe it should be for
problem.
Someone who is in the media. Now, do you know how many people, people of color, women, want to touch my wig? Always. They're the ones who admire it the most. And I don't mind one bit.
Well, touching a drag queen's wig, and which I have experienced, so people trying to touch my hair or grab me on stage, and that's also fucking annoying. But that's also a costume and a choice. But when you are at when you are at your fucking cubicle at Ernst & Young and Cindy, the receptionist, comes up like, oh my God, can I like touch your hair? No, bitch, you can't fucking touch my hair. And you should know, and you should know that you should not even come and even ask me that fucking question.
Hey, y'all, it's Decal again. I wanted to comment on the people who were calling in saying, like, this is the end of it. Like, I think they need a reality check because this is a black lady's word against, like, the queen. They're already attacking her and going harder on her over there. And, like, the next day, the bald prince, whatever his name is, like, had some black lady with him, like, walking with them. I don't know if they've seen her before, if they hired her. It looked very, like, Trump with his, you know, look at my African-Americans over there comment. Mm-hmm. Like, with her African garb and everything. It's like, they're already backtracking. And, like, what's going to happen is it's going to get swept under the rug. Like, it's a black girl. Since when did we listen to black women? Let's be real. Decal again. Bye.
Well, okay, thank you. I mean, we did listen to her. We did listen to her for 1 hour speaking to another black woman, Oprah, who had arranged the show. Now, this is not typical of black women to be mega rich, but that is how we know about this situation.
I think that Decal is referring to more so not listening in that regard, but listening to the British public is probably at large are going to, globally, people are not going to accept what Meghan is saying simply because of the color of her skin. And I think that that is very on brand, very on par. I mean, again, the headlines speak for themselves.
You know, royalty is the opposite of equality. And for those of us mm-hmm. who are saying that we want, you know, racial equality, you know, and using this as or gender equality or LGBT equality, I mean, this is royalty is the opposite. It's someone is better than you. In olden days, it was you were, you know, ordained by God, you know, the right of succession and all. I don't know the right terms for it, but yeah, you were better. God selected your family. And so he was going to, you know, you could pass that down even if you were inbred, like some of my family from Tennessee. And that you were better than other people. So, yeah, I mean, even that's why I say the whole concept of the monarchy is inequality. And this is also something that our guest Stephen Brogan talked about, too. And he was fascinating.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you know this, Bunny, but God chose me to do this podcast. And the fucking Satan chose you.
Yes, that is true. But I imagine that God was just giving you a break from Boob the drag queen. A much needed break. Listen to that tension escape in your voice. A much needed break with a brilliant conversationalist who speaks slowly and enunciates.
But thank you guys all so much for tuning in to the Stereo app. Again, Bunny and I are on here once a week, so make sure you follow us here and on all other social media platforms to get regular updates when we're live on the Stereo app.
We have a very special guest indeed, who is a dear friend of mine, an expert on such matters. He is a Brit who teaches courses on 18th century England that analyze the change from divine right monarchy to party politics via the Civil War, the trial and execution of King Charles I. He published a 2015 book called The Royal Touch in Early Modern England, Politics, Medicine, and Sin. This book examines the healing of scrofula. Don't get excited, Monet. It's not scrotum. It's scrofula. by the laying on of hands by the English monarchy, which I guess is some kind of faith healing. Please welcome my friend Stephen Brogan, a lecturer, an author, and a big old queen who used to do drag as Stella Stein, sharing the stage with Lee Bowery in an unusual band named Raw Sewage. So Stella, Stephen, welcome to Ebony and Irony.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Thank you for being here.
And you are in Hastings, London, and you have been seeing the uproar over this interview, and I'd love to hear the thoughts of a Brit.
I don't want to, you know, throw some British cold weather on the subject, but I mean, I thought the interview was something of a damp squib, to be honest. I mean, the first thing to say is obviously, like everyone, I hope, you know, in an ideal world, I don't want anyone to experience racism or mental health problems that are minimized, obviously. But, you know, I'm indifferent to the sufferings of people with endless privilege and £36 million in the bank and what have you. I mean, we can get to that in a minute. I mean, the main thing I think that you've talked about and that came up from the interview, the main thing really was when they kept talking about the institution, senior royals, etc. You know, I mean, who the fuck are they talking about?
Right.
Well, the answer is, and I don't know why Oprah didn't push them on this. The answer is, until 10 years ago, approximately, the answer to that question is the Queen. Okay.
So now, the institution is the, like when Meghan Markle kept talking about the institution, she was speaking about Queen Elizabeth specifically?
Until 10 years ago, the institution was the Queen.
Got it.
The Queen's now getting a bit old. No offense, Bunny. I'm talking about Elizabeth. the Queen's now getting a bit old. So Prince Charles is head of the institution of the monarchy. They call it the firm. So it's Prince Charles now runs the firm. Anything important has to be rubber stamped by his mum, the Queen. But he is the boss, the chief exec, the way she was for 60 years up until about 10 years ago.
Huh.
If they're taking decisions that are going to have implications 10, 20, 30 years down the line, Prince Charles has a deputy, which is Prince William, his eldest son, and he gets involved. So when she says, I went to HR and asked for mental health support and I was told the institution won't provide that, that means Prince Charles said no.
Really?
That's what that means.
Is that widely understood in England? Because over here, that it is not.
That's not widely understood. The game that the media plays is, number one, the Queen is above any criticism. Even when it was revealed maybe 2 or 3 years ago that she had millions of pounds in offshore accounts, in Panama, in the Cayman Islands, the media was quiet because the Queen is above criticism.
Why is that? Why isn't there a faction of the press and the media in the UK that wants to hold her accountable to this stuff? Why is that?
Well, up until maybe the 1980s, there was. But since the 1980s, the British mainstream media has been bought by billionaire white men who are extremely right-wing. Murdoch, the Barclay brothers.
Rupert Murdoch.
And so the Queen is above any sort of criticism. The other game that the media plays with the public is like Oprah and Harry and Meghan, the media in Britain talks about the institution, the crown, the palace, senior royals who are unnamed. You know, until 10 years ago, they meant the Queen, but nobody was meant to know that. You know, so for instance, when Princess Diana died in the car crash in Paris, when Diana died, the royal family were on holiday and royal protocol said they're on holiday. Diana was no longer a princess. She was stripped of her title. So the royal family don't do anything. They carry on with the holiday. The whole country was grieving and in shock, apart from me and a couple of friends who weren't grieving. And so the Queen didn't tap into the public mood. She stayed in Scotland for a week. She was incredibly unpopular. Even the media criticised her. But they were criticising the palace, the crown. No one would say the Queen won't, you know, move with public opinion. It's always this abstract. It's the crown.
Well, as an American and like, you know, and as you see, because they are celebrities, in my mind, I think that because the crown and the palace is such a big, for lack of a better word, institution, I would think that there were like people like the Queen is not making these decisions. Like there is like a group of people making these decisions for her. But you're saying no. Up until Prince Charles, she was actively making these decisions for herself.
Yeah. I mean, the buck stops with her. Obviously, she has political advisors. She has a council. She takes advice from trusted civil servants, etc. But, you know, just like the chief executive of any big company, she, at the end of the day, says, yes, we're doing that, or no, we're not.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got
and now it. It's Prince Charles And if it's a long-term decision, it's Prince Charles and Prince William.
So this makes sense as to why Harry was saying that he doesn't speak to the brother anymore.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I think he was trying to give us a little Easter eggs, like, we can't say who it is, but I don't talk to my brother anymore or my father. So
right. Yeah. Let me think about that.
Was there a big response in the UK? And what was it? I mean, we know the US.
Yeah, the media, the right-wing media in Britain, the response was Kel surprise, Meghan Markle is uppity, she doesn't know her place. You know, how dare anyone criticise the royal family or the Queen? I mean, to summarise, it was basically good riddance.
Wow.
You know, but this is the same mainstream media that has been racist and sexist towards her. I mean, I'm no royalist. I mean, I should declare my hand. I'm a Republican, you may have guessed. But nevertheless, the treatment in the mainstream media of Meghan Markle compared to Kate Middleton, it's ridiculous.
You're not a Republican.
Excuse me?
Well, that must mean different. Must mean something different in the UK.
Over here, it means I want to get rid of the monarch. The monarchy, and it just have a president.
Is there a kind of person in the UK who is more likely to be forgiving of something like, or just all about the royal family and loving the legend of it and the protocol of it? And this is improper, and just they feel good about traditions, whether they're the monarchy, religion, a nice cup of tea, I mean, they feel that older people in this country take solace in tradition
and are
resistant to change. So what kind of people are the champions of the monarchy as is in the UK?
Okay, number one, the Conservative Party and all of their fan base and supporters.
They love the monarchy.
Yeah, you have to. The clue's in the name, Conservative. You know, the Conservative Party, our version of your Republican Party, and the Conservative Party rallies around the Crown, the armed forces, the Church of England, the Bank of England. It's the party of wealth and privilege. The monarchy has one trump card that it plays. I have to say, it plays the one trump card with remarkable success every time, perpetually. And that is the trump card of tradition and stability. Mm-hmm. People fall for it. They fall for it.
How would they play that card in relation to the Meghan Markle interview and accusations of racism and cruelty, ignoring someone who says she was suicidal?
Yeah, they play. The response is the same to all the other modern crises, the crises of Princess Diana, of Sarah Ferguson. You know, you can go back to 50 years before Diana, the abdication crisis in the 1930s. And the standard response from the monarchy is carry on regardless, as though nothing's happened.
Keep calm and carry on.
Don't complain and don't explain. Rise above it, and people fall for it.
So these are conservatives, but this is not, because I think in our mind, when you said Republican, we're thinking conservative, but you're not. Republican means something different in the UK.
Exactly. Yeah. Here, the Republicans, our ancestors cut the head off Charles I. We want a republic.
Got it.
Yeah.
Right.
Free of rule and dictatorship and more democracy.
That's it. That's why we don't invite Bunny over anymore. We want freedom and democracy.
I want to read you something. Racism plays an integral part in the royal family's history. A racial discussion about Archie's skin tone wouldn't be out of character for the British monarchy. It's impossible to separate racism from the royal family's history because so much of the monarchy as we know it today was built using colonialism. Mm-hmm. Britain colonized dozens of nations from Nigeria to India. Queen Elizabeth I publicly supported slave trader Captain John Hawkins, and Peter Tatchell has said
an activist from England. It's long overdue that the Queen should apologize for the monarchy's role in the slave trade. The fact that she has not done so shows a lack of remorse, an unwillingness to face up to past injustices, and a lack of commitment to a multiracial Britain. She also has had no public statement on Black Lives Matter. What are your thoughts on that, being a historian?
Well, I mean, the first point, you know, your post about monarchy is the opposite of equality. I mean, you know, bang, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, let me just elaborate on that a tiny bit. If you think about the British the British establishment, as it's always called. So let's start with the aristocracy. You've got the House of Lords. It's an unelected political chamber, hereditary. Now, they have a hierarchy within it. Then you have the archbishops and the bishops, the Church of England. Then you have the senior civil servants, all of whom are knighted by the Queen. Then you have the solicitors and the lawyers. Then you have all the palace staff. You have the police. You have the judges, the judiciary, senior ones, knighted. So you've got all of these pillars of the establishment with their hierarchy. Above the whole lot, all of it, above the lot, you've got the royal family. The royal family sees itself as superior to everything I've just said and is treated as superior to everything I've said. All of those things, from the lords to the bishops to the judiciary to the police to the civil servants, historically, they have always been white men. Always. Now, of course, we have a few women, a few people of colour. But the point is, these are white male institutions. And the royal family is superior to all of them. So if we now think about Meghan Markle's allegations of racism, I would say that, you know, the jury's out. We don't know yet whether it's true or false. I would say, if you think about it the way I've just described, there is room for a teaspoon of racism within that structure. Yes?
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, and what you're also saying, that a lot of people in the U.S. don't know, because it's been my impression for years, and I guess it's wrong, is that the monarchy, the queen, and her consort are not just a title.
This is a myth. You know, the myth is that the queen...
That's what I thought.
But the queen and the royal family are above politics. It's just, it's titular. They cut ribbons, they smile into the camera. No,
right.
It's not true. The firm, the institution of the monarchy, is a huge international corporation. It is veiled and shrouded in secrecy, and that is deliberate. But let me say something about the wealth, first of all. You've got the institution of the monarchy, and you've got individual personal wealth. So, for instance, Elizabeth Five Castles Windsor cannot actually sell Windsor Castle, Buckingham Palace, Hampton Court, St. James's Palace, etc. She can't sell them because they belong to the crown. When she dies, they'll be held by Prince Charles. So you've got billions of pounds, and that's not an exaggeration, billions of pounds of castles, palaces, properties, you know, art that is so valuable it cannot have a price put on it. That's owned by the crown. The woman herself, Elizabeth Windsor, is thought to be worth £350 million. That's what Forbes says. It's a huge underestimate. But also, how do you separate the crown's institutional wealth from any member of the royal family's wealth? I mean, take Harry and Meghan. We've just talked about the Netflix and the Spotify deals. They get that because they are part of the royal firm.
Right.
So the boundary between the two is very blurred. I mean, also, think about legislation. The myth is that the royal family wouldn't dare meddle in politics. Thanks to every 30 years or so, documents in the National Archives are released to the public. And sad nerds like myself go in and read them and write about them. We now know that Prince Charles has written more letters to MPs lobbying for legislation changes that are favourable to the royal family than even someone like me would hazard a guess at. Even better, there's something called the Queen's Consent, which The Guardian revealed a month ago. We had a vague idea of what it was. What it means is basically that the Queen has an ancient power that she still exercises, whereby she can legally request and insist that legislation is altered to the betterment of the royal family. So one example, Prince Charles used the Queen's consent to change the law so that all of his hundreds and thousands of tenants wouldn't benefit from right to buy. So when right to buy came in, the right to buy your property if you're renting it from a landlord, in the 80s and 90s, the royal family squashed that for their own tenants.
So that the tenants will have to keep on paying them rent and and these people would never own the property.
That's right. The tenants keep paying the rent and the value of the property keeps going up. And the landlords are already billionaires getting £500 million pounds a year from the taxes.
From rent.
From the taxes. Let me give you another example that even I was shocked by. It was revealed a month ago. Get this. Not only do they own palaces and land and art, they own the seabeds around the island of Britain.
Really?
So at the moment, there is a too slow for my money, move towards a Green New Deal. I want it done like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of companies are trying to rent the seabed to set up wind farms. The institution of the monarchy, in other words, Prince Charles, who's famous for his green credentials, Prince Charles is holding back from renting the seabed because every time it's about to be signed, the deal, he ups the money that he wants. I mean, this is breathtaking hypocrisy as well as greed.
So he is obstructing these people from making these wind farms. He's like, actually, so like when he's like, I want $1 million. He's like, well, actually, let's make it 3 million. Actually, let's do six. Let's do
Thank
nine.
You. Keep
it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
He's getting credibility by allegedly supporting something like the Green New Deal.
Exactly.
Environmental causes.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I would say about Prince Charles, to his credit, is that he's been championing those causes since the 1970s when everyone thought he was a freak for doing it. You know, he's been proved right on that one. But it's the hypocrisy. He should hand the seabeds over for free, in my view. You know, the planet's falling apart and the royal family want another 5 million.
It's like, you don't fucking need it, bitch.
No.
I have a question. This may be so stupid. What do you are you a fan of the Netflix show The Crown?
I'm afraid I can't bring myself to watch something like that.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either. But, you know, we all know the conspiracy theories about the family being behind Diana's death and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. What do you believe? As a historian and a Brit, what do you think? What is your opinion?
She wasn't wearing a seatbelt. The car was going too fast.
Okay.
Yeah. But having said that, that family has form on removing difficult people, having them murdered, often judicially, having them locked up. You know, I mean, I'm going back centuries, obviously. I don't think the Queen's father had people bumped off or anything. But, you know, the Tudor and Stuart monarchs, you know, the Tudor monarchs were, I mean, from a modern point of view, they were kind of psychopaths, you know.
Got it.
I mean, the way they executed, you know, the nobility, the clergy, the ordinary people, you know, I mean, it's easy to think, well, that's what it was like then. Life was cheap, you know, but the medieval monarchs before the Tudors, you know, the head count was low. The Tudors were ruthless.
And we're talking about this queen is a Windsor.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, okay, I don't think that Elizabeth II and Prince Philip, you know, plotted and pulled off the murder of Princess Diana. I think that's ridiculous.
They didn't say, off with her head.
No, they said that about you.
No, it's still on, love.
In fact, the last time you had an evening with Prince Philip, he said, awful head.
Oh, God. And he's used to fucking Camilla.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
You mean Godzilla. Wow. Godzilla.
I made Camilla look good.
I heard you said to Camilla, why the long face?
another little thing that Americans, you know, conspiracy theories, etc. You know, people often say that Harry may not be Charles's kid. What are the historical realms of that being fact or fiction?
You mean Harry Hewitt?
Who's Harry Hewitt?
The son of James Hewitt and Princess Diana. What I'm saying is that Princess Diana had a very well-documented affair with someone called James Hewitt.
Right.
And around that time, Prince Harry was born. If you take a photo of Prince Harry, especially in profile, and put it next to a photo of James Hewitt in profile, it's spot the difference. Harry does not look like Charles.
So you're saying that Prince Harry is a bastard?
If I ever see Harry, I'ma just yank a piece of his hair. I'm like, yeah. Hey girl, how you doing? Like, bloop, I'ma get a DNA tested myself to find out the real thing.
Let me know.
One thing that I thought was interesting about this is that a lot of people's reaction was, "Ooh, see, these rich, really rich celebrities in the royal family are racist." You know, I mean, it seems like low-hanging fruit, you know, in the same way that they will jump on, you know, a reality star like RuPaul, and I'm not saying don't ever jump on her, because I do, but it's like this low-hanging fruit of what is put in front of your face as channeled by Oprah, and saying, oh, yeah, they didn't want a half-black or one-quarter-black child. It's easy to care and just check off that box and say, okay, they're racist, and I'm high and mighty, and without actually really caring. I don't see the people who were posting about this so much and so engaged in it really battling racism in ways that it affects ordinary people.
That's it. Look, like you, you know, I don't want anyone to experience racism, sexism, have their mental health problems minimized, obviously. But, you know, Meghan married into the British royal family. In the interview, she explained that she didn't do any research.
She just married into it.
I don't believe that. Either that's a lie or she's asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, there's no way. Bitch, I go on. No. A guy hits me up on Grindr, and I'm putting his picture on my Google. There's no way.
Right, no, exactly. I mean, we talked about the problem of terminology in the interview. The other thing I got from the interview was that they inadvertently, the two of them, revealed how pampered they are. She went on Oprah to say, everybody thinks I made Kate cry, but she made me cry. How old are these people? It's just ridiculous. But the point is, I agree with you, Bunny. I would be much more interested if people said, right, Meghan Markle alleges racism from the royal family. Even a Republican like me has to say these are allegations. They are not facts yet. Mm-hmm. She alleges racism against the royal family. That we should use that to open up a bigger conversation, connect it to Black Lives Matter, and say, how can we make our societies less institutionally racist and interpersonally so? To home in with the microscope on Meghan is to miss the point. The point is, racism exists. She's had a taste of it, apparently. So why can't we use that as a kind of flag to rally around the anti-racist cause?
Because I think the reason why not is because you touched on this earlier. It's like, this family, no one is going to persecute them for this racism. So even bringing it up, like, the point is that the media, the press, no one is going to hold them accountable for the alleged racism.
No.
What is the point thereof?
No. And also, just to make it even better, Britain at the moment is ruled by a far-right populist government. The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, is a known racist. He's published racist articles in The Spectator. He's a known homophobe. He treats women derogatory. Even Tories on the inside of his executive machine have put their heads over the parapet, saying number 10 Downing Street at the moment, the British government is run like an old-fashioned white men's club.
I'm so cynical that when they, you know, started, they kept mentioning, oh, we no longer get support or security. I thought, is this like to publicize the Spotify podcast?
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing a very high profile thing with Oprah. And it almost seemed like they left open the possibility of, oh, well, if we get the support and the security, we might want to leave that window open.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Did they promote the? I did not hear them promote the Spotify thing one time during an interview. Well, did they?
They didn't actually promote it, but they mentioned it. You know, so everyone who watched the interview now knows in the near future you can get stuff on Spotify that comes from their company. So, got you know, it's like Bunny said, Oprah can make a book a bestseller. You know, Oprah's got, you know, she's got that power.
But you know what? The security thing came up because they talked about that they had someone try to break into their house in December. So it's not like it came like some people are actively trying to fucking break into their house with their fucking kids.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
I mean,
that was me. That was me. I just wanted some money. I wasn't going to.
Don't forget, you owe me 50 quid, bitch.
Oy.
But I mean, the banging on about not having security, I mean, that is saying they have had a hard deal. That's what they're saying, you know, and they have had a hard deal. They've got 36 million in the bank and she has to try and decide what instructions to give the governess and the nanny and the butler and the lifestyle guru and the lawyers. You know, they've got a really hard life. Yeah.
Kind of had to ask myself, why does Oprah with so much money want to do this? And, you know,
It's celebrity culture. It's celebrity.
It's TV. It's Oprah. Oprah is known for giving these legendary interviews. I don't think that's weird. I think that on our podcast and stuff that we post, and it's like we post interesting clips from the episode for people to be like, oh, I want to hear that. I personally don't think that's weird, and I think that interviewers across the gamut, whether it's comedy, news, drama, whatever it is, everyone loves a cliffhanger or something like that. So people are like, oh, I need to watch this. At the end of the day, it's still a TV interview that's airing, and they're trying to get views. You know what I mean?
Thanks to Stephen, we won't have any interesting clips from this podcast.
Job done.
I couldn't tell what they wanted from this interview. I couldn't tell if they wanted to come back if the security were provided. I couldn't tell exactly what they wanted.
Well, they said they wanted a quiet, peaceful life to go walking on the beach with their children and their dogs. But they said it to Oprah, watched by the whole planet.
I know. So it's like, you know, oh, don't take my picture. You know, go away. But here's an hour discussing our problems.
Exactly. Also, I mean, you know, I don't want this to come across as victim blaming. If you marry into the royal family and then you say, I'm mixed race, they're racist. I have mental health problems, they didn't ignore me. It's like, well, it's a bit like, you know, if you get a job as a bus driver in a central London company and then you moan about the bad roads, the traffic jams, the rude passengers, what do you expect?
Oh, well, Monet loves bus driver wigs. She loves bus driver wigs.
I mean, it may be a syndrome of like, you're like, you know, even though they have not had black folk in the royal family before, it's like maybe I guess to her she was like, and I know she said she didn't research him, she didn't know a lot about the family or Harry.
I mean, she's damned either way. If that's a lie, she's damned. If it's the truth, then she's not the full ticket.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe she's like, you know, maybe they just haven't met me yet. I don't know what her thinking would be, but maybe she just didn't think it would be so blatant and just obvious as they did. But and let me tell you something. As a black person, bitch, when I go to a fucking Boots or a goddamn CVS, I'm afraid that my black is going to show and people are going to be uncomfortable, whatever. So I couldn't imagine stepping into the royal family not thinking, how black am I going to have to get on these motherfuckers up in here? And that's just how I operate, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Does that mean that you return the items that you've stolen?
Oh, my God.
Or that you hang on to them? So, I mean, at the end of the day, Meghan is but a Duchess of Sussex, and we are all queens.
And you're the Duchess of my asshole, bitch. Stephen.
Oh, my God, that is racist.
Stephen, thank you so much for being here today. This was incredibly, incredibly insightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, honey.
Been a pleasure, treasure.
Girl, what an amazing podcast, honey. We talked about all the things.
I am literally hoarse from squawking at you. But like I say, this fucking royal shit is polarizing as hell.
I also heard you hung like a horse. Is that true?
That was an ant. Hung like an ant. Like your aunt. In other words, very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Buddy, you are a fucking troll, and I love this podcast. Yeah, so this is a really interesting conversation. I'm curious to hear what you guys think of this. Listen, if you guys ever want to like tag us in anything on Twitter, you can always hashtag Ebony and Irony, and Buddy and I will see that to hear what you get, what your specific thoughts were. If you weren't able to come through on the Stereo app, or you have something you really want to say that you want us to see, tweet us and hashtag Ebony and Irony, and we'll check it out. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Well, don't hashtag me, because I'm a little more exclusive than Monet.
Oh, okay.
I have a certain, you know, as a royal, as a queen, I have a certain image to maintain, not with trashy hashtags. Besides, why would I need hashtags? I've got skin tags.
On that note, happy Friday, happy weekend. If you're listening to this almost a week later, happy Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever it is for you. And thank y'all so much for tuning into this episode. We'll see y'all next week with Margaret Cho,
who we've been promising for 2 weeks now, but she is coming. She's coming. We've already recorded it. We just had to stop for this breaking news about Harry and Meghan that impacts hardly anyone.
For sure, for sure. All right, Bunny. I'll come visit you at the home this weekend, okay? I'll bring you some treats.
La-da-dee, la-da-da. She's homeless. In other words, you've been evicted. That's the only reason you're going to come visit me. But listen, guys, if you check us out, well, which you are, if you're listening to this and you made it all the way through, all that screeching. Subscribe. Give us a rating. We love to hear what you think, and we love to get into you with it on the Stereo app.
Amen. Adios.
A podcast network.